been excited to come here as we talk about something that is massive and great and grand and something that is essential to us and is going to be wonderful and magnificent. Randy, what's it going to be? It's going to be so great. You know what we're going to talk about? Salt. What are you laughing at? It's essential. It is. Without it, you wouldn't be here. Oh, Randy, it's just some thing we have in the cabinet that we put on popcorn and meat and stuff. No, it far exceeds that. It is so essential that God calls his people salt. Salt. We know it as something that just flavors enhances. It's the only thing, as I was reading, that says it's the only ingredient you can add that doesn't change the flavor or the taste. It enhances it. It changes it a lot if you add too much. I will say that. But then what? It gets salty. There are several essential roles in the human body. It's an electrolyte. I gave you the definition because I needed it. A substance that conducts electricity when dissolved in liquid. It helps maintain the fluid balance. It keeps you balanced, guys, throughout the body, including cells, muscles, and blood. It's involved in the transmission of the nerve impulses because it can transmit electrical impulses. It involves in the regulation of blood pressure. Your body is actually designed to crave salt. There's a taste bud that craves salt. It is involved in the body's metabolism, that chemical process that occurs within a living organization in order to maintain life. That little shaker of salt is important to you. Who knew? Who knew? Unless you're a nurse or a doctor or something like that. Who knew? But as important as it is in the human role in history, it's even more important. Salt was foremost used for seasoning. The second common use is salt is a preservation of food. Any of your grandparents have a smokehouse or a salt house? I am so much older than you. My granddad had a smokehouse in which he would smoke the meat. He would take the ham and he would put salt over it because it preserves it, to keeps it from spoiling. It's also an antiseptic, preventing infection and wounds. It cannot heal the infection, but it can prevent it. Now, you have this wound in the old days, they would take and make a little paste from it, and they would put it in that wound to keep an infection coming. You think that stuff your mama did to you when you were younger. Come in with a scratch, and they would put that red stuff on you that hurt worse than the scratch itself. What is it? Methylate. You got so your limb would have to be hanging before you would go in and ask your mama for something. But it was also considered something of great value. Yeah, that little shaker was something of great value. Gold was traded for salt, and salt had the higher, greater value to it. It's hard to believe, isn't it, in our economy today? Some soldiers and workers at times were paid in salt. Isn't that amazing? It was also used as a sign of favor because it was value. I have favored you by giving you a present of salt. And it was a generous gift. It represented relationships. Most important, covenants. When they made covenants in the Old Testament, they would exchange salt. They'd carry a bag of salt with them, and they would take some salt from their bag and put it in the other. I've done some wedding ceremonies in which that was instead of a unity candle, we did the salt. They each had a little bag of salt, and they put some. You try to separate your salt crystals from the other in that. Can't do it. And that's what it represents. It was recognized by Jews as a very fitting sign for covenant theology. Almost every one of the Jewish sacrifices was to be seasoned in salt because it represented the relationship that they had with God Almighty. There are still terms they use today. We have shared salt together. And it was important to them. And now Jesus is looking to try and have us understand how important we are to this world for his kingdom. See, so often we don't think we have anything to offer. If you just look at that little salt shaker, it doesn't look like much, does it? Doesn't look like much at all, but it's essential. And Jesus is looking at his people going, you're essential in the kingdom of God. Every single one of you, no matter your gifts, your talents, your looks, what you think you're good, what you're good at, no matter what, Jesus said, you are essential. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. In speaking to his people, as born-again children of God, he's speaking to us this morning. He said, you are salt of this earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness or its effectiveness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So what is Jesus saying by that? Let's ask his presence again. Father, thank you for preserving for us this image in front of us. Words we get lost in at times, but illustrations and images seem to stick with you. May we see, no matter how low we look at ourselves, you see us as essential. You see us as valuable. You see us as of great use in your kingdom. And Lord, that's not the way most Christians look at themselves. So I pray that your spirit would just come and enlighten. We give you the praise for your glory alone. Amen. Folks, like all other verses, this verse wasn't spoken in solitude, or it was part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, when he was speaking, taught, you should find in the kingdom of God, living on earth, these things, okay? Humility, mourning for our own sinfulness, meekness, submissiveness could be used there, thirsting for righteousness, mercy, purity, peacefulness. You should find all of those in there. Now, these are the spiritual ingredients that we should be blending into our lives, because some of us have troubles with some things like submissiveness. Yeah, amen? Yeah, chicken. Or humility. Or pride. We should be blending these into our daily lives. Now, they will be lived out in perfection when the kingdom of God is physically on this earth. But during this time, we are God's salt in the world today. And Jesus is giving them so we will know how to live. He has given us power. He has given us direction. And he has given us wisdom of his Holy Spirit living within us. Each one of you born-again children of God, don't just have your sins forgiven. You have been indwelt with the presence of his Holy Spirit. That is the power of creation. And his purpose is to guide you into all truth and then give you the power to walk and live in that truth. He has promised us everlasting life with a glorified body. Knowing all this then, after all that Jesus has done and given you, he's saying, go and spread your spiritual salt in this wounded, sinful world. Go and be salt in this world. Don't so congregate yourself to the point that there are no influences you can have outside. Be salt. As we look at Jesus' miracles, it catches our attention. I'd love to be there when he was healing those with demons. Just to see a crooked leg be straightened up and run away, or a blind man from birth given sight and go running away. I'd love to do that. But as much as that is, that's not really what grabbed their attention. What grabbed their attention was his compassion. He accepted. His acceptance for the lost, the hurting, and the neglected. The wounded in his society, you can hear that. They had no political power. They had no power at all. They could not go to the temple and make sacrifices. If you had a skin disease or you had leprosy and you're walking down the sidewalk and saw people coming, you'd have to go to the other side of the road and go, unclean, stay away from me. You know what Jesus did? He walked up to him and he touched him. Touched him. He touched the untouchable. He restored the demon possessed. I don't find in Scripture where he ever asked how they became that way. He just did it. He healed the broken. He stood up for the powerful. Folks, he was salt, is what he was. Salt on this earth. And when they saw Jesus, they saw the one who could allow them to become close to God again. They were separated from God. They could not, but he could. Jesus knew how, and he had the power to take them there. His message of truth looked and tasted desirable. I want that. You could hear the people go, this has got to be the Messiah. No one can do that unless they're from God. He didn't just heal bodies and minds, but he healed hearts and lives. With his teaching as an example, can we not live lives that are desirable even to those who hate us? Knowing all that he has done for us, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, knowing where we are going and what is available, can we not live that same kind of life? Randy, I can't heal like Jesus did. Can't do that. You know, I've come to the conclusion that I would not like that ability. The world would just surround me. And you know how I like people. It would ruin us. But can we not? Can we not touch the untouchable? And have compassion for the wounded. Not judgment, compassion. Can we not open up our arms and hug those that are unhuggable? Some of you are laughing. Yeah, you know me. Can we not do that? See, you have to understand, only God's children can do that. The world might have answers how to heal a physical wound, but it has no answer to how to heal a spiritual wound. Or a mental wound has no answers. To be salt-like, we must preserve the truth of Jesus Christ in Scripture. We must preserve that. Salt, when applied correctly, look at this, interrupts and prevents corruption. Prevents corruption. The purpose of Satan and this world is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said. And the only prevention is God's Word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way we can do that. And this must first happen to you. Not in perfection, but in continual movement towards it. We must live the truth of Christ Jesus so that when the world declares us hypocrites, it will not stick. Read that again. We must live in such a fashion that if when the world calls us hypocrites, it will not stick. 1 Peter 2:12, Peter said this, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. The Living Bible says this, be careful how you behave among your unsaved neighbors. Be careful. For then, even if they are suspicious of you and talk against you, they will end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns. We are also God's face before the lost and confused and broken. So how we dispense his truth matters. Ephesians 4:15. We speak the truth in religious dogma and stand on the corner and yell at all of them are sinners and going to hell. Is that how we do it? We speak the truth in love, in compassion, in grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God, they would be speaking to us. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. He has given you his word that we may be salt in this corrupt world. Antiseptic salt works by creating an inhospitable environment for germs. It cannot heal infections, but it prevents it from happening. Wounds were cleansed with a salt solution. Newborn babies were washed with a salt rub to prevent infection. And the only answer for our wounded world today is the salt of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So we be ready to be salt in this world. Christians, you will be wounded while living in this hostile world. And sometimes it will be your brother and sister in Christ. Understand, you will be tempted to respond as the lost world recommends. I'm done. I'm just going away. What? Nothing to do with this? Those people are all hypocrites. And you may be correct. But how does God want you to respond? How does He want you to respond? The only answer is a salt rub of God's promises. God, it hurts so deep. And you take that salt rub of God's promises and you rub it into that wound and you allow it to prevent it from getting corrupt and to heal. We are to help wounded Christians apply the salt rub of God's promises. We don't judge. We don't condemn. But we do supply God's promises. You see the lost as wounded because that's what they are. They don't know any different. Why would we be salt? He's given us His Word. That's what He's saying. Here's how I want you to live in the kingdom of God. You now know that. Now go be it. Go be it. But God, I can't do it perfectly. I never ask you to do it perfectly. What I'm asking you to do is be at the task of being it, little by little. Apply it to your lives. Recognize your salvation and the truth that God has brought it as your most valuable asset. Salt was traded. It was more important than gold. It's not your finances, but Jesus. It's not your health that's your greatest asset, but Jesus. It's not your mind, but Jesus. It's not your scars, but Jesus. It's not your name or your power or your influence, but it is Jesus Christ in your life. That is your greatest asset. Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." What has Christ held back from you? What blessing has He not given you? He's not holding it back. Every spiritual blessing available in the heavenlies are available to you. And He will dispense them to you as you are being salt in this world. You've heard that expression, blessed beyond measure. That indicates something that is really immeasurable. Too large, extensive, or extreme to be calculated. I'm blessed beyond measure. Think about counting the grains of sand or stars. That's what God asked Abraham to do. God, how do I know that you're going to bless me with a child? He says, go outside and count the stars. He said, God, I can't do that. He said, that's the blessing that I'm bringing to you. That's the blessing. Count the stars. Count the sands. They are too many to count. So God's blessings are to you. Too many to even count. We used to sing a chorus here, more precious than silver. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. That song came from a young girl, teenage girl, who wanted to write Christian music. And God had led her to a one-day fast. She worked at McDonald's. They put her on the fry machine. Come about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, folks, there was nothing she wanted more than fries. She'd smelled them all afternoon, and that desire was just overwhelmed her. And she heard the voice of God say, "Is that more precious than me?" Now, if you like fries like I do, you might have to think that over just a little bit. No. Nothing I desire compares to you. Nothing. But not only, look, your spiritual salt must be protected against corruption. What's the purpose of Satan in this world? To steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus told us that. That's the corruption. Everything gets corrupted in this world. It goes back to its base ingredients. We are spiritual salt God uses to hinder this corruption. In your family, in your community, sometimes in the government. I don't know where that is. But it's to hinder the corruption that this evil society wants to bring upon you. But God, Jesus gave us something to think. But if the salt loses its saltiness or effectiveness, how can it be made salty again? In and of itself is what he means. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. There is a really only one way that salt loses its effectiveness. Could be heat, but most of the time it becomes contaminated. Contaminated. Something gets thrown in there that makes the salt unusable. It becomes contaminated. And you throw it away. When we become full of bitterness and unforgiveness, your salt is contaminated and not desired by anyone. When your lives are not lived by what you profess to believe in, your salt becomes contaminated and not desired. When you allow false teachings to become sold as truth, your salt is contaminated and not desired. When you allow sin to be accepted as truth, your salt is contaminated and not desired by anyone. Folks, I will tell you, in the Church of Jesus Christ in America, the message has been contaminated. I believe it is coming back with some of the things going on today. But the things that God calls sin, that the church today calls normative, is wrong. It's wrong. God calls it sin. It is sin no matter when it is. The nation of Israel became experts at contaminating their salt. Experts. They desired to be like the nations around them. God had blessed them with his word. All you have to do, Israel, is worship me alone. Live according to the law. And I will keep your enemies away. There will be no droughts. You will have more than enough food. You will be protected. Everything. The greatest blessings I can give you. And they wanted to be like the nations around them. 1 Samuel 8:5. They said, give us a king like all the other nations have. They pleaded. They contaminated their salt. So let me ask you this. What is the only answer to contaminated spiritual salt? Can you pick out the contamination and throw it away? No. No. That won't work. Maybe you can put it in a sieve and grind it and move it down. No, that won't work. Peter said it like this. Repent then. Turn back to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That was spoken by Peter. It is still true today. The only way that your salt, spiritual salt, becomes new again is through repentance, turning to God, and walking after him. Moses lost his spiritual saltiness, but not his calling. Moses had the God's hand upon him. He was adopted by Pharaoh, so he went to all of the best Egyptian colleges and schools they could. He'd learned all the philosophy, but he knew that there was God's hand was on him. And he tried to take it in his own hand, ended up killing an Egyptian, and had to run away and spent 40 years on the backside of a mountain tending somebody else's goats. Doesn't look like a blessed life, does it? Looked like everything was totally gone. He lost his saltiness, but not his calling. Not his calling upon your life. It wasn't the burning bush that restored Moses' spiritual saltiness. That got his attention. It wasn't the rod that turned into a snake when you threw it down. That would have gotten my attention. It was simply by saying, "Yes, God, I will go back. I will walk in obedience to you." And then he watched God work over time. Moses became the Moses that we know and appreciate because he took his unsalty, his salt, contaminated salt, allowed God to return it to a pure state, and he used him marvelously. Has your spiritual saltiness got wet, leaving you joyless and lacking his peace? Is that what's happened? Has your spiritually saltedness been burnt, leaving it stale and ineffective? Are your wounds limiting your spiritual saltiness? Be a Moses. Return. Begin walking in obedience. And over time, watch what the Lord will do through you and in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the illustration that you have given us. And I pray that we check our hearts. Have we become lax in our dedication to you? Have we allowed the circumstances of this world to just press upon us so hard that that's the only thing we notice? Have we been wounded, whether by a church member, pastor, a mom or dad, fellow worker, neighbor? Have we been wounded, and the wound is so deep, and we've tried so hard to not let it control our lives, but without much luck? Lord, we want to be restored Moseses this morning. We need you to take our contaminated salt, make it fresh and new again, and then send us back out into this contaminated world. Lord Jesus, heal. Lord Jesus, refresh. Lord Jesus, save this morning. And thank you for the Spirit that so leads us today. And we give you the praise now. In your name, amen.